One.
One. None of them are working. That's right. Okay, now.
You have to call an electrician for that.
Well, that depends. Might just have to go to 7-Eleven.
We're too busy trying to pack something to work with.
You're trying too busy trying. Yeah. Well, there it is. Okay, now that we've planted the land, tended to it, figured out how many trees we need to cut, we got to hire the cutters. So we hire people like Sam Baker.
Yeah.
Danny Baxton and Billy Bryan from Paso. Where are you from?
Paso Leon.
What? I know where you're from. Where are you from?
We're from Ocala.
Okay, Ocala, Mr. Baker.
Blountstown.
You're from Blountstown. Billy's from Paso Leon. Mr. and Neil Varnes, and where are you from?
I'm from Lake Butler.
Lake Butler, Eugene Baxley, and Tony Baxley, and they're from the same place because they're all related. What does a logger do? You cut down trees, but logging sure has changed over the years. I remember the stereotype of the logger I've always had is somebody with a huge crosscut saw wearing a plaid shirt and peg trousers and going into the woods with some ox, and that's kind of changed, hasn't it? But it used to be like that somewhat, but now it's changed.
Yeah.
What does a logger do? Let's see. Let's start over here with Sam. Well, how long have you been logging? Did you do the logging back then?
I logged it about 10, 15 years.
Okay.
And
kind of work do you do?
Well, I have a roping log for the beginning. So, and then they changed me from that to I was using the chainsaw, cutting the limbs off of them and cutting the top out of them. Mm-hmm. But they changed from that, so and now they got where you don't use nothing. They just top them as they cut them down.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that means there's more tools now involved than the chainsaw,
sure,
right?
Yes.
Maybe Charlie want to talk about it. Tony want to talk about that.
Well, nowadays it's real mechanized. We use what we call a fellow buncher, you got a machine that goes up and grabs a tree and cuts it off and throws it down in a pile or cut three or four trees. And then we got what we call a grapple skidder, where a machine backs up and grapples hold of it and picks them up and takes off to the loading ramp, where a man will go over them with a chainsaw and trim the limbs and knots. And then a knuckle boom loader or a front end loader will load them on the truck and haul them out to the mill.
So basically, it's still the kind of, you go into the woods, you cut them down, you trim them up, and take them off to somewhere. It's the same procedure, right? But it's different tools. Billy, do you use a feller buncher?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, what is it? It's like two sets of,
You got cylinders on the bottom with blades.
Okay.
And then you got your arms in the top, it catches it.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference in logging now and then, it just takes three times as much.
Huh.
See? Because you got more equipment involved.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, well, it's easier. Well, it ain't no easier because you got to move more wood. Back then, you can move 50 cords of wood and make a living. Now you got to have 150.
Okay.
That's
really
the difference.
Yeah.
And you do less sawing, less manual labor, three times as much as mechanic. You got, more equipment to keep up, greasing, stuff leaks. I've been in business 17 years, mm-hmm. and ain't been a weekend that I ain't worked on something.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about that.
Really, yeah. So it's interesting because you would think it is kind of easier, but on the other hand, you do have that kind of work because you also have maintenance work to do too, don't you? You have to keep.
I'd say 30% maintenance.
30% maintenance.
That's what Saturdays are for.
Okay, so that's what Saturdays for. So do you work like Monday? Do you work like Monday through Friday, and then?
Right.
And then Saturday's the day to...
You work on it on Saturday.
You work on it on Saturday.
Loggers don't get to go fishing on Saturdays. They're working on equipment on Saturdays.
Okay.
That's what welders do to you underneath the skidder.
Right, yeah. Mr. Varnes, do you do your own logging as well as your own milling.
These fellas are different kind of loggers for me.
Talk about your kind of logging,
they're different
would you?
Kind of loggers for me. I only log what I need myself.
Uh-huh.
And I go about it different. I work by myself. I run a sawmill and I do my own logging.
Mm-hmm.
They got the work took out of theirs.
Now do you?
They got the right kind of equipment to do it with. I do mine with converted farm equipment that I've adapted to my logging needs.
Really?
And all I have to do is get the timber to the hill somewhere where I can get my machine to it. I I operate a portable mill, and I take my mill to the trees. I don't bring the trees to the mill.
And, so you don't even. So you have to wait pretty much for a relatively cleared site, don't you, in order to get that. Is that the mill you bring in?
Yes, ma'am.
Then that the mill across the way is the mill.
The mill across the road over there. I take that mill right to the woods, and the only thing I bring out is my mill when I get through and the finished lumber. So it's quite a different operation than what these fellows.
Really,
they're
is.
Professional loggers. I'm not.
Well, I'm not going to say you're unprofessional either. That wouldn't be very nice.
Just a different operation.
Different. Do you use chainsaws at all, or is it?
Yes, ma'am. I use saws, a chainsaw to cut my trees with. These fellows primarily are cutting pine trees, I imagine, and they're using shears, and I have to use a chainsaw because I'm down in the swamps and. And it's a different type of tree, too. Most of them are swelled at the butt. You can't cut them with a chainsaw unless it's, I mean, with a shear because they're too big and you can't get to them.
Go ahead, Billy. I'm
basically, he's talking about, sawing them. You sure don't cut all the trees. You fell a bunch, you won't cut any tree. It just got to be pretty, like he's talking about, if they flared at the bottom or big oaks, you got to saw them. It don't go out and cut everything you want to cut.
So basically, a feller buncher sort of isn't a maniac tree cutter.
It's
a very selective kind of thing. Then.
Right. Okay. It ain't as bad as I am. I'll cut anything, but it won't.
when you don't have a piece of equipment that'll do the job, you make do with what you have. You adapt something else to use.
Mrs. Baxley, have you been actively involved in the business? Have you operated any of the logging equipment, chainsaws or the feller bunchers or nothing? What part of the business are you in?
Well, I always run parts and bought all the parts and done the bookkeeping and what have you.
Oh boy! So again, it's like especially for independent workers like yourself. You all work on contract basis,
right?
Yeah, that ends up being really different. You end up having a lot more things that you need to attend to. Somebody could describe for me what a day is like for the kind of work you do. You probably start pretty early in the morning, depending on the weather, maybe.
Depending on if it's Monday or not.
Depending on if it's
what? Labor showed up.
Oh, so you mean there's more than one of you working then?
Oh, yeah.
On Monday
they
don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody describe for me what a day's like doing the kind of work that you do. Let's see. Let's have a...
A lot of the loggers in my area work on a quota basis. If they get their quota finished by Wednesday or Thursday, they're through for the week then, unless they have something comes up with the machinery they have to work on.
Right, but what I'd like to know, and I think people here would like to know, when the day starts, what's the first thing you do? What's the second thing you do? And is there a kind of a sequence that you actually go through in your work or not?
Well, my average day when I get to the woods, I run a knuckle boom loader on my job.
Mm-hmm.
I load all the logs. I got a boy that runs the cut down machine, and then a couple of men that run chainsaws and one or two that drives grapple skidders, then the truck drivers. Mm-hmm. And when I get there, we check our oil and water in the radiator, and fuel, and we go to work. One man goes down there and goes cutting, and the skidder driver drags the logs out. Sawyer goes over them and tops them, and then I sort them out. We have basically three sorts we have to make on pine: pulpwood, chipping saw, and ply log. Sometimes we might sort some poles, and then we load the truck according to what, if we got mostly a load of putwood, or if we can haul any putwood, then that's what we load, that load. And then we might get a load of chip and saw or ply logs next load, and basically that's how we work it.
Okay, so start in the morning and just end when you end, and if the machine, there's something wrong with the machinery, then that's it. You've been using a couple of different names of the equipment. I'm wondering, do you have other names? Is there another name for the feller buncher that people call it? Do you know of any other names?
Some people call them shears. Some call them feller bunchers.
Shears, feller bunchers.
Sometimes you call them all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I guess that means when they're broken. So there are kinds of nicknames that you learned within the group. Let's go around here, and I want to find out, maybe people can just talk about how you learned to do this.
I learned the hard way.
Well, go ahead.
One piece at a time. Well, I started out when I was about 14 years old in the summertime with my daddy. And he logged hardwooded. And we had an old wheel saw. I know he knows what I'm talking about. I wasn't you know, that rubber tires and just had a big circular blade in front. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he sawed with. And I never did saw much with it. I sawed a couple of trees and broke my ribs. Let pinch and it kicked around and broke my ribs. And I broke me from messing with that boy.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, it was heavy. It weighed 500 pounds. You had to be a part bear to pull it around with you. But he saw a lot of wood with it. He fed 13 youngins doing it.
Really? Oh, my God. So, what about you, Mr. Baker? How did you get into this business?
I was a cross-cut saw. Man on one end, I'm on the other. So we used to saw down trees. And then he told the axe, and I told the saw. And we got it sawed down. Then we go up, and he chopped the limbs off them. Then we cut it up, and the length of what they want. So I got it cut up, so we leave it there, and we go on to another. No, you know, from my kin, close kin. Like me,
uh-huh.
My father was dead.
Uh-huh.
And,
okay.
And I got started at it, so when I come back on, kept coming until I got on up, used chainsaw.
Uh-huh, so you started using chainsaw.
I cut a few of them down, but the most I done, they had a fella bunch of saw that cut them down all one way. We walked on there and cut the tops of them. Cut the limbs off them good and smooth, and then we cut the top of them out. Then another tractor, big tractor, come along there with a grandpa behind me, pick up a load of them, and they caught them on to the highway, gonna load them at.
So you've really been through the whole operation.
I mean, I've been through a lot of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What about you, Mr. Varnes?
Most of us got into sawing or logging by necessity. You got to make a living doing something.
That's right.
And you don't always have any opportunities that you might be interested in available to you.
Hmm.
So you adapt to whatever is available. And of course, in a timber growing region, why logging is just the way it goes, you know.
Right.
And
yeah.
And you grow up with it.
What about the Baxleys? How'd you all get into this?
It's in our blood.
Okay.
our granddaddy used to have a little sawmill, and I had an uncle that run one. Some of his boys run the sawmill, and our dad was a logger for years, and me and Tony, we just grew up in it. That's all we knew how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when our dad died several years back, we kept on with the business. Thank the Lord we got a good mother with us, and she's helped us out and been behind us to help us, and mm-hmm. we've been real successful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What kinds of things do you have to watch out for besides trees? You know, trees falling on you, I could see that. But do you do any in the woods? It's an occupational hazard with snakes, with animals, and things like that. What kinds of things do you do to sort of keep aware or for snake bite or remedies that you might use or anything like that?
I don't worry about the remedies that much. I watch where I'm going.
Okay.
Well, if you stay in the woods long enough, you can smell a snake.
Really?
Yeah, you sure can.
Yeah, huh. I can smell a snake, you know, ain't no problem on that.
What's a snake smell like?
sort of like a dead carcass.
In the woods, too.
Oh.
You know, just...
Yeah.
You walk
carefully and carry a big stick.
Okay.
You know, right. Watch where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever... what made you get to that? Have you had things happen to you? Go ahead.
Yeah, I had things happen to me. I've got... close to them, so I happen to just see them though. Mm-hmm. Big rattlesnakes. I have been so close to them that I throw my saw close to the tree to cut it in two. I cut him in two. Cut the snake in two. And I jumped from that tree then. I mean, I left that tree.
Right.
One of the things that I have to watch for, I cut a lot of cypress, and of course, these fellas are familiar with cypress. It's all swelled in at the bottom, hollow, a lot of it's hollow. I have to watch out for bumblebee and jacket nests. Come under the saw and you cut right through it, and you don't know they're there to lay it all around you.
And cotton mouse.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've got them jacket nests. They got all over my gloves. I've hooked the log and I had to run and fight them off.
Really?
I mean, but I got them off, though. So I got bit with some of them in my mouth and nose, and I had to get a fella using Balka. And he is giving me some back, you know, and I got it sawed and lobbed off it, and I put it on there, so it killed it.
Keeps the swelling down.
Swelling.
So yeah. The tobacco.
That's right. I didn't think so until he told me.
Best thing for indigestion is wood. under the bark under the pine tree, and the little skin parts on it, just a piece of that. If you got indigestion, just eat a piece of that.
Gosh.
Better no raids.
I'll try some of that next week.
Try it. If you get indigestion, just, you know what I'm talking about, on the south side, just that sweet piece. Just get a piece, a little piece, and chew it.
I'll try cambium layer, they call it.
Yeah. Try it, and it'll work.
I'll try it. I'll keep a bottle of Rolaids in the truck.
My brother does too. And I told him, I said, you throw the Rolaids away, you'll try what I've been using.
I'll try that old soft roll. I have two of that old soft rolls.
I'll try that.
Yeah, it sure does good. Yeah. I don't know what else it'll do to you.
Do any of you do, I know, well, Billy does, but do you do anything else with wood? Do you do any woodworking? If you have any spare time ever to do, you don't have the spare time to do it, do you? No. Yeah, that's a shame.
You have too much equipment to work on.
Yeah.
I don't anymore. I was a professional yacht builder by trade. I done that for about 30 years. And I was supposed to retire, and I bought this sawmill as a hobby. But see, it ain't no hobby.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And there's too much demand for it, and once you get into it, you do it or you don't do it, you know?
Some of you were saying earlier too that just made me think of something. Kinds of things people believe about the woods, like I know on boats, like people think if you say alligator, yeah, that's going to bring bad luck. Are there any kinds of superstitions or beliefs that, you know, you all, you know, have heard about, at least in working in the industry, like Friday the 13th or anything like that?
You have bad luck any day in the woods.
Oh, you're going to have bad luck any day in the woods?
Amen.
Sure will.
Well, I've heard it. A fellow used to work with us, and like we moved, like on Thursday, you got through, started a new place. He said, I'll see you on Monday. He didn't work on Friday. He moved to a new place.
Uh-huh.
If it was on the 13th, he sure didn't work.
Really? Okay.
He's the best hand I ever had, but he wouldn't work on Friday 13th.
Uh-huh.
Well, I told you I was a yacht professional yacht builder. That's one thing we would not do. We would never begin a yacht on the 13th of any month.
Of any month?
Absolutely. We did not never start a yacht and date the keel, put the number on the keel. In other words, the date of the yacht was began on the 13th. Don't ask me why. That was a tradition in yacht builders. We just don't do it.
Nobody wants to sail on that boat. That's
what. Okay. Now that we've got the logs cut, and it's the end of that for now. I want to thank you very much for taking the time talking with us. Feel free, of course, if there are any questions at any time, you know, stop these people. They'll be talking with us all again tomorrow and on Sunday, too. So thanks very much. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to have some fiddling with Billy Bryan. Yes, sir. Okay, thank you very much. Watch TV, and other times they might sit and play the fiddle like Billy Bryan here. We're just going to play you one or two or three tunes that he learned from your dad, right? Learned from his dad in Holmes County, and I'm just gonna make some noise behind him.
You ready?
Yeah. Just you start it.
A chord.
Three parts?
D, A, and G, yeah.
Ragtime Annie.
want to play it by yourself, go ahead.
No, you pick rhythm in here.
I can try it, yeah. What do you play it in?
E chord, E, A, and D.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't hardly hear your guitar either.
Really? Okay, he's going to turn it up. He's playing pretty loud. Orange Blossom Special.
It's fast.
I know.
It's about the speed we have to log nowadays.
Okay, that's it for the morning portion of our program. And come back again, come back about 1 o'clock. We'll be talking about all sorts of other aspects of the forest industries here in the northern part of the state. Have a good lunch and enjoy the exhibits around you. There are lots of artists to talk about their work, to talk about the traditional skills alive in the forest industries today, as well as the crafts demonstration area. And, of course, there's craft sales and some of the best north regional foodways of northern Florida that you're ever going to have in your lives. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. Thank you. I'll be